Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord another clap offering. Amen, church, this morning. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. And his mercies endure forever. If you'll open your Bible with me, church, this morning. Praise God. In the Bible, the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, my title, the message for today, the title is The Cost of Discipleship. The Cost of Discipleship. And in Luke, chapter 9, verse 57, Luke, chapter 9, verse 57, when you get there, you can say an amen. That you know that the Lord has called us to be committed to him. And we're going to look at this passage where the Lord Jesus Christ literally tells those who would be his followers, "Are you sure you want to follow me?" Amen. The cost of discipleship. Now, it happened as a journey on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus answers back and he says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." I'm going to stop right there. But as we go on the message, he gives different examples. But notice that he says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The cost of discipleship or being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, it teaches us about the Great Commission. And the first word is, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples." How many know that the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are on the go. We are on the go, or we are called to do evangelism or tell others about Jesus Christ. Give them the invite to a better life that is found in Jesus. That is something that we are called to do, is that we're on the go. Because church, we have the good news. We have the good news. We have the answer. The second thing is that the Bible speaks in Matthew also is, go and make disciples. Is that we help other believers. You and I, or someone that God can use towards you, is that we help others to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Make disciples. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to become more like Jesus Christ. Notice, not less, more. More like Jesus. The third thing is baptize, water baptism. We encourage others to obey what the Bible teaches about obedience. Is that in Christ you are a new creation and now you're taking that step of faith because you want to do what Jesus said for us to do. And water baptism is declaring publicly to the world or to your family in Christ that we are a new creation and we have decided to follow Jesus. And part of this is that now we celebrate with that person that gets water baptized because he is part of the family now. And here's the thing, church. Together we will grow. We will grow together to reach others. And lastly, Jesus, he says, and teaching them to observe all things. This is part of discipleship. You and I, hear me, church. You and I, we are called to evolve. You and I are called to grow, learn how to worship the Lord from our heart in every aspect of our lives. In other words, it's how we serve Christ. That's number one, is how we serve Christ. But also number two is how we serve others. And that's why on Mondays we have discipleship, because we're teaching. The teacher is teaching disciples of how to serve Christ and serve others. So Jesus, we're going to see in this passage, the cost of discipleship. How many know that it's a radical commitment? Amen. And it has to do, hear me, church. When Christ calls those who are going to follow him, he brings up the family. Now, we know that the family is very important, church. But you're going to see how Jesus says, hey, you want to follow me? Are you committed? We're going to find out how he calls his followers, that to be committed or to be sold out for Jesus, I'm going to tell you, church, many times it's not going to be easy. There might be some type of suffering. Everybody's suffering can be different. But lastly, also, there could be some type of rejection. But why rejection? Because now you are following Jesus. Isn't it funny that before we came to Christ, you had all the homies, you had all the friends, you had all the comadres, you had everybody. Amen. You had everybody would hang out. But the moment you said, you know what, with all due respect, I have decided to follow Jesus. Many, not all, many. They just rather back up. Because there's something about church when you talk different, you're different, they see the change in you. Sometimes people, they just don't feel comfortable. But it's a commitment that you have to decide and say, you know what? I know it's hard and it hurts. It hurts that many times you get rejected, but when it comes to Jesus, church, it's all worth it. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't love your family, you don't love your friends. I have family, I have friends, I love them. But when you've decided to follow Jesus, many times they're not going to understand. They think that you have betrayed them. That you're not the same no more. Now all of a sudden they miss you. Because you used to buy everything. You know, you were the one that I'll get the 24. Don't worry about it. I'll get the keg. But now, you know, it's like. But now we use what God has given us for something good. For God's kingdom. Amen. So it's very important, church. How committed are you? You know, on one occasion, Jesus, he's right there, he's just chilling. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, then his mother and brothers came to him. And the Bible says they could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told to him by some who said, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They are desiring to see you. See, the family wanted to see Jesus. There's a crowd. Jesus is busy. But this is what Jesus answered. He said to his mother, he said to his brothers, he says, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. How many know that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a new family? And that new family are those who hear the word. Hear me. Notice Jesus, he just didn't say they just hear the word, but he also says, and they do it. See, church, we're called to do the word. Because, see, your different lifestyle, when God begins to change you, he begins to change me, it impacts people. It's part of what we would call, it's your testimony. It's your testimony. Everyone's eyes are on you. Now that you've decided to follow Jesus, everyone's eyes are on you. And yes, in the beginning, there might be rejection. They might not be around you. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. But it's a matter of time. As you are committed and you are a doer of the word of God, people, your family and friends start looking for you. Can you pray for me? You know, they start opening up to you. What they've never did the whole time, all these years. They start telling you, you know, about their situation, their children, their marriage. And that's part of discipleship. That's why discipleship is important, church. Because it is important to grow in the Lord. And what does the Holy Spirit does? Everything that you are observing, everything that you are receiving, everything that you're learning, everything that you're reading in the Word of God, everything that's coming to you, the day of tomorrow, those perfect moments when you're with the person, you're with the family member, you're with someone, the Holy Spirit suddenly reminds you of everything you've read and everything you have learned for that special occasion. Part of discipleship. Now, Matthew 12:50 says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So who are the disciples? Who are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's those who do the will of our Father. Now, let me say this. How serious, question for you this morning. How serious are you about following Jesus? How deep you want to go? Do you just want to wet your feet? Some are okay. Yeah, as long as I wet my feet, I'm cool. Yeah. Others, the water goes to the knees. For others, it's a little bit higher. And for others, I mean, you're all in. You're swimming for the Lord. I heard about a story, Dag Mills, the great evangelist in Africa. He gives an illustration about this one gentleman that he got on this boat. And from the boat, they were going to jump into the water. But in the middle of nowhere, and afterwards, they asked him, "How did you like your trip?" And he says, "It was all right. Kind of enjoyed it." And they asked him, "Why did you kind of?" Well, he says, I left one leg on the boat and put the other leg on the water. And what the story means is, church, is that the reason he did not enjoy it was that he didn't put the other leg inside of the water, the full body in the water. And many times that's the way it is, church. You will never enjoy your walk with God. The joy of serving the Lord and serving others until you get all wet. Until you are fully committed to dive in. And many of us, we want one leg on the boat, but the other one on the water. But let me tell you something. Number one, you're not going to enjoy it. Number two, you're not even comfortable. Come on, man. One leg on the water, one leg on the boat. You're about to do the splits. So what I'm saying is that many times that's the way it is. Many of us, we want to use one leg, just, you know, wet the feet. But if you really hear me, church, and you can say, you know what, I love Jesus. I know about God. You know, I go to church. But church, let me tell you something. There is more. There is so much that you don't even imagine what it is to serve God with everything. I mean, right now you could argue and say, you know what? Well, I'm good. But let me tell you something. There's more. More. That's why we don't understand others when they do things, how they pray, how they talk. They want to read the Bible. They want to read they're living for it. And we don't understand. We think, hey, they're a little crazy. It's a little bit too much. Or maybe some go as, that's a little bit exaggerated, but it's not that. It's just that they're a little bit deeper. And that happens everywhere. It can happen in the church. It can happen in your home. It's just that you just want more. And that's why Jesus, he says, hey, have you count the cost? You say you want to follow me. You say you love me. You say you have reverence for me. You say that, you know, you're going to go all the way. And the Bible says that when a great multitude went to Jesus, right away when he saw the multitude, see, because at first it's a multitude. At first it's yes, amen, praise God. I'm going all the way. And Jesus, the Bible says that he turned around and he said to everyone, if anyone, he says this, anyone comes to me and does not hate or love less his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But then he goes on to say, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Notice that he says, hey, you want to follow me? Are you sure you want to follow me? Count the cost, because if you're going to follow me, it's going to be tough sometimes. And notice, you got to get this, church, that because he says, because after you have laid the foundation and he's not able to finish. See, church, you and I are called to finish. How we started, we're called to finish the race until the Lord comes back or the Lord calls us to him. He says, and is not able to finish. Notice what it says. All who see it will begin to mock him. That's why, church, you know, and it happens. You got to give it all. Even if you trip, if you fall, you made a mistake, you sin, what do? You get up and you continue following the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that Jesus says, because if not, they're going to mock you. And now let me turn it over to the natural world. What's the one thing that you know? I don't know if you know, but that you know that many of our friends and families, they're just waiting on you for you to fall. They're just waiting. It's like, oh man, just wait. He's going to fall tonight. Once he hears that one song, that's it. It's game over. Because that will lead to something else. And that other thing will lead to another. And the other thing will lead to another. You know what I'm saying? And they're just waiting because they want to mock. Notice I said some. I didn't say everybody. Because they want to throw it at you, at your face. Well, I thought you were a follower of Jesus. Didn't you invite me? You know, what happened to Jesus? What happened about praising God and this and that, that God can change me, that God can do something in my life, that God can give me eternal life? And the Bible says, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. But let me tell you something, church. We here, we're the ones that are going to finish. We don't want to be the ones that they say he was not able to finish. This is not just a fluke. No, no, no. This is for real. This is the real thing right here. We are sold out for Jesus, and we're going to follow him all the days of our life. Don't matter what they say. Don't matter what they think. We're called to finish. And the Bible even says, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who come against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. How can you be fully committed to the Lord? One word, church. Real easy. One word. You got to forsake the rest. Now, all of you are here this morning. You know exactly what's that one thing you got to forsake, or many other things you got to forsake to go all in with the Lord. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But you know what it is, church? We don't want to let go. You don't want to let go. You're like, that's the way I like it. I don't want to let go. Hey, church, but we're called to let go and let God. And I want to encourage you this morning, church, to try it. When I say try, I say try, surrender all to the Lord. And I'm not saying, for some, you could go cold turkey. I mean, like that right away. For others, it's gradually. But come on, don't let it be till the Lord comes back. You know, use that excuse. No. Church. And let me tell you something. You know, when I came to the Lord, my first encounter with the Lord, divine encounter with the Lord, the first thing that I said, that I started telling people when I would witness and share the gospel, is I wish I could have known the Lord even younger. Younger. I was 19 years old. And I was already thinking, I wish I could have known the Lord when I was way, 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 way younger. Because there's something about church when the Lord, when you have an encounter with the Lord and you have, like the Bible says, you have tasted of the Lord. My gosh. Nothing will beat it. And see, many of you, God wants you all in. Now listen, church. I'm not talking about the way you think or the way you do it. I'm talking about how the Word of God teaches it. You will never find out about something, how good it is, until you first taste it. I remember when I came to the Lord, when I married Monica. This is a real story. All I ate was hamburgers and pizzas and cereal. I didn't know nothing about, I didn't eat nothing about menudo, pozole, Chinese food, and all these foods. And one day I had her from a work Christmas dinner. It was a Chinese place for the first time. I was hungry. So I said, I'm going to taste it. And I tasted, and the first thing I did, all these years I have been missing out because it was so good. And see, church, it's the same thing. When you taste of being fully committed to Jesus, you're going to say the same thing. I had been missing out. But see, you can't say that yet. Why? Because you haven't tasted it. Fully committed, where you deny yourself and you surrender all to the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus? In Matthew chapter 26, Peter at this time, he had not count the cost yet. It was kind of like the parable that Jesus teaches, that when they throw the seed, and for some at the moment they get excited about the Lord, they say praise God, glory, hallelujah, and they yell out Jesus loud. And Peter was doing this. The Bible says, Peter answered and said to him, to Jesus, look what he said. Even if all are made to stumble because of you, Jesus. Look what he says. I will never be made to stumble. In other words, I'm never going to fall. There was some type of pride in Peter at that moment. Be careful, church. When you begin to say I or me, bringing down a notch. Because he says, I will never. That's dangerous. You know that Lucifer, at one time he was an angel. Beautiful angel. The one in charge of all the worship. Those are the words the Bible speaks of him. He said that. He says, I will descend. Be careful with the I. It's getting too quiet here now. But it's going to get better. We're just getting started. And it says, I will never be made to stumble to you. And Jesus said to him, because Jesus, he knows all things. He said to him, surely I say to you, Peter, that this night before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And you would think Peter would be like, oh, man, you know everything, Jesus. I better chill. But no, no, no. Peter even went further. He was believing his own lies. Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And all the disciples and Peter, they all said the same thing. How many know, are you ready for this, church? How many know that talk is easy? Talk is easy. But to deny yourself every day, daily, and to be focused and committed can be very hard. But it's possible. It is possible. How can it be possible? Real easy. You want to know? Real easy. Less of everything and more of Jesus. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you are around Jesus. Guarantee. The less you want about everything else. But see, the less of Jesus, that means what? The more less, the more separated you are from Jesus. And the more separated you are from Jesus, that means that you're getting closer to the other. But when you're close to Jesus, you're around Jesus, you separate yourself from the rest. You are denying yourself. Now, when people hear a message like this, they think like, well, what does that mean? That, you know, I can't go to the movies or I can't, you know. No, it's not talking about nothing legalistic, church. We make it hard because many times we put our own rules. But the key is about spending time and being around Jesus. And what does God say in his word? Did you know that even Paul even gave, the Apostle Paul, he himself even gave some advice to those who were married. 1 Corinthians 7:29 says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. You got to remember this, church. The time is short. So that from now on, even those who have wives, those who are married, should be as though they had none. Lord have mercy. In other words, he's saying, you're married, you have a wife, the time is short. It says, you know, as if you don't have one. What he's trying to say is that you got to be committed to the Lord. God is first. Now, there's another scripture in Corinthians. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord. In other words, saying it's going to be easier for the one that's not married to care about the things of the Lord. That she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So wife, if you're married, you got to learn how to please her husband. I know two or three of you didn't like that one, but that's all right. But what he's saying is that it is possible. It might be a little bit harder. And then in 1 Corinthians 7:35, it says, and this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper. And that you may serve the Lord. Here it is, church. That you may serve the Lord without distraction. You know, that's the reason why you can't serve the Lord all the way. It's because of distractions. Too many distractions, man. Too many distractions. And I'm going to read one more verse and I'm done. Go all the way to right there on Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. But Jesus said to him, now remember the cost of discipleship. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Church, don't look back. Look forward. The back is the back. Yesterday is yesterday. Don't look back. Now, you know what people, when they would plow in those times, they would, as a farmer, their goal was to keep looking forward and keeping the lines straight, like staring down at an object that where they can focus on. Let's just see, if there was a tree in the front, they would focus on the tree so that the farmer could keep the, when he was plowing, it would be straight. But the moment, if he would let go and look back, the lines were not straight anymore. Now they were crooked. And that's why the Bible says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. But there was something else. It wasn't just looking straight. The second thing, very important. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, number one, you got to keep looking straight. Focus on the Lord. Don't look back. But the other important thing, the second thing, as someone who did the plowing or a plowman, was that they would hold on. They had to hold on. They couldn't let go. They had to hold on and stay focused and looking straight. You know that Jesus, he never let go of his Father. All the suffering, all the rejection, everything they did to him, he had one thing he was focused on. Looking straight was to go to Jerusalem to die on the cross for the sins of the world. He never let go of his Father. It reminds me of an illustration my father-in-law would always say about the father and a little boy walking together. And as they're walking together, a man notices the little boy that his shoes are untied. And he yells out at the little boy, tie your shoes, because if not, you're going to trip and fall. And the little boy answered back to the man. He says, I'm okay. I'm in good hands. As long as I'm holding on to my Father, I am good. And see, church, as long as you're holding on to your Heavenly Father and moving forward, all is good in the mighty name of Jesus. Please stand.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.